those names.
"There's the beacon fire," squeaked Greenway, pointing off through the mist. "It's Ollansand."
"Finally."
Stour stalked to the prow, shouldering Greenway aside for a better look. There was no missing the wriggling pinprick of light now, and there were smiles all around at the thought of land and food and warmth, clovers big as anyone's. It had been quite the wearying voyage. They'd scratched together a crew, half his men, half Stour's young bastards, who'd lived through the battle. One had a wound in his back and died after a night of groaning on the water. They'd rolled him over the side, the only ceremony, Clover's observation, that not everyone goes back to the mud after all. Some get the big drink instead. Greenway had looked green the whole way, and especially green at that. Ricker's prediction that he'd die on water, no doubt weighing on his mind.
"Home again."
Clover shook some of the salt dew from the old blanket around his shoulders. He glanced at Scholler sitting beside him with her arm over the tiller.
"Quite a feat of navigation."
"Nothing to comment on," she said modestly, though he knew she'd spent most of the nights awake, frowning at the stars and fretting over the course.
Last thing they wanted was to land in the wrong place, after all, and one bit of sea looks much like another. All the way, Stour snapped and whined like a wounded wolf indeed. Anyone hoping a glimpse of the north would sweeten his mood was sorely disappointed. All it did was remind him that he'd left with big ambitions and a few thousand men, and was coming back with neither.
"Get the oars out and row us in, you bastards,"
he snarled, that fine wolfskin cloak of his snapping as he stalked between the benches. He leaned against the mast to rub at the wound on his leg.
"Fucking thing! It's right on top of the one the young lion gave me."
"Seems a bonus," Scholler murmured through tight lips. "You end up with one wound, not two."
"In my experience of the great wolf," mused Clover, "and I have about as much these days as any man alive, he's not prone to look on the sunny side. I'd best try and calm the bastard, eh?"
He heaved out a sigh as he stood.
"Doubt anyone else will."
And he pulled the damp blanket off and tossed it over Scholler's head. Men scurried about the ship as that distant light grew brighter and was joined to either side by the grey rumour of the coast. Wood clonked, rope hissed, and salt spray flew as they brought in the sailcloth and leaned to the oars.
"Ready for the shore?"
Clover asked downside as he passed, and the big man gave him a wink with that bloodshot eye, red from a blow to the head in the battle. Stour was still raging, of course, as he walked up. What else would he be doing?
"Not a moment too fucking soon. Fucking union, fucking disaster."
As though failure had fallen out of the sky, rather than his having any hand in it. Clover folded his arms and looked off towards the coast.
"If no one lost, my king, where'd be the pleasure in winning?"
Stour glared at him. Seemed he found that a touch too philosophical when he was still licking his wounds in the shadow of disappointment. Clover gave it another try.
"Aye, the young lion's done, and you had a good deal in common with him. A sympathetic ear in Angland and so on. No doubt his loss is a terrible shame, but did you really like him all that much?"
Stour frowned as Scholler slipped around him.
"Sorry, my king, just have to get to the prow."
She nodded at Clover, and he pulled Stour's attention back by stepping close, speaking soft, everyone's friend.
"Maybe he can't help you take Ulfrith now, but, well, he can't stop you taking it either."
Clover stepped closer yet, closer than men usually dared step to the great wolf.
"Aye, we lost good men back there, but we lost good men before. In your father's wars and your grandfather's wars, there'll be more men, there'll be more wars. You got to think of any battle you come out of alive as a victory and look ahead to what comes next."
Stour considered him. A salt wind swept chill across the deck and stirred his hair, ruffled the fine wolf's pelt about his shoulders. Ollansand was slipping from the grey up ahead, ghosts of tall masts in the harbour and low houses on the hillside, the beacon fire burning brighter, joined by some firefly dots of torches held by a little welcoming party on the longest wharf. The oars creaked and rattled. Somewhere on the high air, a gull gave a lonely call, and Clover swallowed as the King of the Northmen turned that wet-eyed stare on him. Always an uncomfortable moment. Then, quick as the weather shifts in autumn, he grinned.
"You've been loyal to me, Clover. I know I'm not always the easiest. No, no, don't deny it." No one had thought about denying it. "But if any man can talk me into looking on the sunny side, it's you."
He reached out and gave Clover a slap on the shoulder.
"You'll get your reward. Don't worry about that."
Clover matched him grin for grin.
"I know I will, and sooner than you think."
And Scholler slipped up from behind Stour, took the hilt of his sword, and whipped it from the scabbard. Instant later, Clover had him around the throat, butted him full in the mouth, and snapped his head back. Clover snarled as he butted him again and felt Stour's cheekbone crunch under his forehead. Stour gave a shocked little hoot as Clover butted him a third time. He'd had few sweeter feelings in his life than when he watched the King of the Northmen go sprawling on his back beside the mast. Greenway's jaw hung open.
"What?"
And Downside's axe split his head in half, spraying blood. Seemed Ricker had been right about him dying on the water, and not just him. All over the boat, Clover's boys stabbed the men beside them, cut throats, smashed skulls, stuck blades in backs and fronts and sides. All done too close and too quiet and too sudden for swords. Just the way Clover always said it should be done. Far faster than when Stour killed Scale and his men, far neater. By the time the great wolf shook his head, spitting blood, Clover's boys were already rooting through the corpses of his bastards for anything worth the taking. Stour blinked, like he hadn't quite caught up yet, and found Greenway staring back at him. Well, one side of his head was, the other it was hard to tell. Stour's bloody lip twisted as he tried to sit up, but Clover put a boot on his chest and shoved him back down.
"Best stay there, I reckon."
"You fucking traitor!"
He spluttered red through his broken mouth, the chain Bethod once wore all tangled up around his neck.
"Traitor, did he say?"
Clover raised a brow at Downside. Downside shrugged and set to wiping Greenway's brains off his axe.
"Traitor, did you say?"
Clover shoved Stour down again and smiled. After so long under this little shit's boot, felt awfully nice to have their positions swapped about.
"You got some bones calling me traitor," he said. "You who murdered your own uncle. All I've done is what I always told you to do. Wait for your moment. Then go all the way."
He leaned down closer.
"It's just you weren't fucking listening."
There were raised voices up near the prow. One of Stour's men left alive. A couple of the boys were arguing because it seemed he was someone's cousin and a good enough fellow by all accounts, and letting him live would be a fine thing for his old mother. Clover gave Downside an impatient flick of the head, and Downside stepped up and ended the argument with his axe, in much the same way he'd ended Greenway. Once you've chosen your moment, holding back is folly. Holding back is cowardice. Stour opened his mouth again, but Scholler shut him up by brushing his cheek with the point of his own sword, and Clover leaned down and undid the buckle on his cloak and dragged it free of him and swept it around his own shoulders.
"Always liked this," he said,
rubbing his cheek against that fine fur.
"Suits you," said Scholler.
The men finished up their robbing of the dead and set to the oars. A skeleton crew, maybe, but enough to bring the ship in. One grey northern city on the grey northern coast looks much like another, but as the oars kept dipping, they could all see it wasn't Ollansand coming up out of the mist at all, but Ufrith. The light they'd seen wasn't a beacon on a hill, but a bonfire in a cage up on a high pole beside the wharf.
"Quite a piece of navigating," said Clover.
Scholler allowed herself a grin, rare as the northern sun.
Nothing to comment on.
There were men waiting in the light of the fake beacon, just as they'd arranged. Hard-bitten men with weapons, scars and scowls in abundance. Clover knew a few faces, named men of Ufrith and the West Valleys, the Nail standing among them, in that crook-back slouch of his, with thumbs in his sword belt. At their front, arms folded, metal eye glinting through his long hair, stood Cole Shivers.
"You brought him, then?" he said, as Clover clambered somewhat ungainly from the ship, wood of the wharf feeling unsteady under his sea legs.
"I said I would. Did you think I wouldn't?"
"I gave you about a 1 in 3. You know the Nail?"
"By reputation," said Clover. The Nail grinned, all teeth and menace.
"It's a good one, ain't it?"
"It's a peach. Must say I'm sorry about your father."
"Not as sorry as he's going to be."
The Nail grinned even wider as Downside hauled Stour from the boat, hands trussed tight behind him.
"Well, well, well."
And he gave a flourishing bow, fine as any Union courtier might have managed.
"The King of the Northmen comes home."
"Ricka with a long eye sends her regards," said Shivers.
"Fuck her," snarled Stour. "And fuck you too, Cold Shivers."
Stour's threats had lost a lot of their menace in the last few moments, though, and most of the men laughed if they did anything.
"She was gutted she couldn't greet you in person."
The Nail leaned forward to poke Stour in the chest with one great big finger.
"Gutted. But she's arranged a greeting that will make it all up to you," said Shivers.
"She's got that cage ready for you. You remember? The one in Scarling's Hall, the one you kept my dying."
I remember," spat Stour. "Remember how he pissed himself and cried like..."
He was an odd-looking bastard, the Nail, all stringy and loose, all shoulders and elbows, but Clover never saw a man hit so fast. From nowhere, his fist crunched into Stour's ribs, and the King of the Northmen doubled up, wheezing out a long string of drool, the diamond on his chain dangling.
"Ow," said Scholler, deadpan.
"Funny,"
said the Nail, back in his floppy slouch already.
"Barbs don't sting so much from a man you can slap whenever you please."
Seemed that punch knocked out all Stour's bluster. It can get that way with men who are always giving blows but never called upon to take 'em.
"Look,"
gulping and glugging as he struggled for his breath,
"I'll give twice what she's giving."
Clover grinned.
"All I'm getting is the chance to butt you in the face. Well, that and the cloak."
"Fight me, you bastards!"
Stour struggled at the ropes around his wrists, provoking nothing but another round of chuckles.
"We already fought," said Clover, "and you lost. You lost everything."
"I'm the craziest swordsman in the circle of the world."
The Nail gave a high little titter.
"Can't see it. To be a swordsman, you have to be able to stand up."
And he bent down, grabbed hold of two fistfuls of Stour's trouser legs and yanked them down hard. Yanked them right down to his ankles.
"What are you doing?"
he squealed, twisting and struggling, but Downside had him under one arm now and the Nail under the other, and he wasn't going far with them two holding on. Shivers took out a knife. A small knife it was, with a bright little blade, but a knife don't have to be big to change things. Stour stared at it over his shoulder, his eyes wet now all right, but with fear rather than threat.
"What are you doing?"
Clover caught him by the jaw and hissed the words in his face.
"Giving you your last lesson. Those big names of the past you're always wanking over. Shamer Heartless, Black Dow, the Bloody Nine. The dead know they were bastards, but they earned those names. They tore them from the world with their hands and their will. Nightfall?"
Clover turned his head and spat into the sea.
"What the fuck is that?
You were born with it. All you have, you've been handed.
Well, here's the thing, boy."
And he caught hold of that big diamond and tore the great chain that Bethod once wore over Stour's head.
"What's easily given is easily took away."
Shivers reached down and, with a calm little movement, like peeling an apple, slit the tendons behind the great wolf's knee. There was a silent pause, like it took a moment for Stour to realize what had happened. Then his eyes bulged and he gave a great sobbing shriek, wriggling and twisting, blood running in streaks down his calf. Scholler winced and looked the other way. Downside frowned and held Stour tight, careless as a shepherd holding a sheep for shearing. The nail grinned like he'd never heard such a joke.
"Come on," he called over Stour's squealing. "It's fair to leave a man lopsided."
Shivers shrugged, good eyes showing no more feeling than his metal one, and he did the same to Stour's other knee. Clover tucked the king's chain into a pocket in his new cloak and watched, arms folded. He didn't think much of vengeance in the main, and it had been a long time since he took much pleasure in other men's pain, but he had to admit this felt good. Not so good as having Wonderful still around might have, but it was something.
"Best get him bandaged."
Shivers carefully wiped his little knife clean on a rag.
"Don't want him bleeding out."
He glanced sideways at Clover and gave him a nod.
"Glad you came to see things our way."
"I always did."
Clover watched as the nail dragged the King of the Northmen away, squealing and crying, his blood-streaked bare legs dragging, and the jeweled buckle on his belt bouncing and clattering after.
"Just waiting for my moment.